The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A decree went forth from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Caesar wanted to register what he had. He wanted to know what was in his empire and what it was worth. And so tonight I want to invite us to ponder how we register what we have in our lives and what it's worth. And to do that, I'm going to ask some leniency from you, because I'm going to explore this concept by telling you the story about how I met my wife, Annalisa. 8 years ago, at an annual event we host here at church called the Advent Workshop, a member of this congregation, a woman named Karen Kimmelshue, walked up to me and said, "Pastor, are you dating anyone?" I thought this was a rather personal question, but I was not, so I said no. And she said, "Well, we are neighbors with this wonderful family who's very involved in the Presbyterian Church, and they have a daughter who's about your age. She's grown up with our children, and we think you two would hit it off. She's currently a school psychologist working down in Palo Alto, but she's going to come home for Christmas. We're going to have her over for dinner. Would you like to join us and meet her?" And I thought to myself, well, you know, Palo Alto's a long way away, and so I asked Karen about this, and Karen said, "Well, you know, her parents are really hoping she'll move back to Chico." And in my mind, I said, "Oh, I see, I'm bait. This isn't going anywhere." But like Caesar, I wanted to register what my options were. I wanted to register what was out there and what it might be worth to me. So I said, sure. And friends, I am here tonight to tell you exactly how bad I am at registering what matters most in life. Because the next week, here at church, another lady came up to me and said, "Pastor, I hear you're going to go on a date with Annalisa. She is so smart and beautiful and kind. I had always hoped one of my boys would marry her, but they're all too dumb." Now, what I should have registered was that Annalisa had the admiration of people that I respect. What I actually registered was, does everyone know about this? This is going to blow up in my face. And then the night of the actual dinner came. And it was like something out of Jane Austen, right? The Kimmelshues had decorated their house beautifully. They had set an elegant formal dining table with 10 places, all of them with assigned seating. Annalisa and I were, of course, assigned to sit right next to each other, yes. Of the 10 spots set at that table, 5 of them were set for Kimmelshues. And then Karen cooked up this beautiful multi-course meal. And from all that, I should have registered, wow, this family went through all this trouble in the midst of the busy holidays. They must really care about me. What I actually registered was, there's a lot of Kimmelshues in this congregation. If I screw this up, I'm out of a job, yeah? I said half the seats at that table were for Kimmelshues. The other half were for Annalisa's family, because at this dinner, which was explicitly to set the two of us up, not only did Annalisa come, her mom came, her dad came, her elder brother came, whose birthday it was. What I should have registered in that moment was, wow, Annalisa has a really supportive family. What I actually registered was, there's a lot of muscle in this room dedicated to make sure Annalisa is happy. If I screw this up, I'm not just losing the job, I'm getting run out of town. And because of all that, I made a point to be really charming that night. But not to Annalisa, because I figured, well, she'll be gone in 2 weeks, I'll never see her again. I was really charming to her mom, to her dad, to her brother, to the Kimmelshues, because those people lived in Chico, and I figured they're the ones who are going to be shaping my life in the years to come. I better keep them happy. You see, friends, I was so focused on registering how to protect the life that I knew, that I didn't register that God might be doing something new. And as bad as I am at registering what really matters, Caesar Augustus was even worse. Because he is registering the whole Roman Empire. He's taking a census and counting everyone in it. He's asked people to go back to their hometowns so he can know exactly where they're from and who their ancestors are. In that census, he would have learned that there was a boy born in Bethlehem to a man named Joseph who was a descendant of David. And scripture after Hebrew scripture says the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem to a descendant of David. And if that were not enough, Matthew's gospel tells us a whole new star starts shining in the sky, pointing to Bethlehem when Jesus was born. But there are all these signs pointing that this most important person has come into the world. Caesar registers none of it. He's too busy registering who can pay him taxes. He's too busy registering who can fight in his army. He's too busy registering how to protect the life that he knows. So he doesn't register that God might be doing something new. I will say, in my defense, that at the end of this dinner, it did register to me that the Kimmelschus had gone through a lot of effort to set us up, and so the polite thing to do would be to at least follow up with Annalisa, yeah? So I asked for her number, and I called her, and I asked if she'd like to meet again, and she said yes, and she asked if I'd like to go hiking. I love hiking. I said, great, sure. So the morning of New Year's Eve, the two of us started hiking up South Rim Trail in Upper Park. Now, as a pastor, I hadn't dated a lot. But when I had, I would usually know that a woman was interested in me because she'd tease me. There'd be a lot of joking about my profession, yeah? That was how I would register. Oh, I think she's trying to flirt. Annalisa did none of that, yeah? As we hiked along, Annalisa, with all sincerity, told me about how she really enjoyed her religious studies programs. She told me about the joys and struggle of working with children in schools. She asked me about my own sense of call as a pastor. These are all very nice things to talk about, but they're kind of like the checklist for polite conversation you have with a pastor. I figure, oh, she's just going through the motions. There's nothing here. Plus, it was really icy that day, and she kept slipping and falling into my arms. And I had to keep catching her, and I figured, well, what a klutz. There's obviously no chemistry here. We are so bad at registering what really matters. When Jesus is born, he's not born in the place where we would expect someone important to appear, right? He doesn't get born into a palace or to a castle. Jesus is born and placed in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. It is a vulnerable place for a child to be put. It is a place no baby should be placed. It's as if we couldn't ask for a more obvious sign that God wants us to pick that baby up and hold him in our arms. Jesus isn't meant to stay in the manger. He's meant for us to see, oh, do you need a hand? Well, I'll hold you. But it doesn't register because we think we know what love is supposed to look like. We think we know how the person who is going to change our lives will appear. So sometimes the one who loves us has to get very explicit. When people haven't registered that Jesus has been born, God sends an angel, a messenger, to deliver the good news that God's love has become born in Jesus Christ. But this angel is sent not to the emperor in Rome, not to the governor in Syria, not to a priest in a temple. This angel is sent to shepherds watching over their flocks by night outside small town Bethlehem. And when the angel appears to them, the angel appears with the glory of God, and the angels are terrified because they know this is something important. And what is something so important going to do to the lives of such simple people? But the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will see a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." God sends a messenger to tell it directly how important this is. Sends it to such simple people. Because here's the thing about love. Love, the only reason it needs to love someone is that it does. It needs no other excuse. Well, after this hike, in which I thought there's clearly no chemistry, I figure, well, I don't have to worry about this anymore, and I forgot all about it. And then a few days later, I received not an angel, but a message, a text message, and it was from Annalisa. And the text message said, "Ben, I really enjoyed our time together. I leave Chico in 5 days. Now, we've already established, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, yeah? But even I could pick up that by telling me she was leaving in 5 days, she was implying I should see her before she left, yes? You don't need to rub it in, yeah? And in that moment, I thought to myself, wow, maybe she is actually interested in me. And in that moment, when you know someone is interested in you, it's glorious, yes, but it's also terrifying. Because you think to yourself, how is this person going to change my life? And furthermore, I thought to myself, why is she interested in me? She's living in Palo Alto. There are Stanford professors. There are Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. There are San Francisco investors. I am a shepherd of a flock in the small town Chico. But here's the thing about love. The only reason it needs to love someone is that it does. And so I said, sure, let's meet up. We went on 2 dates, and we had a good time. But after the 2nd date, I knew she would be driving back to Palo Alto, and so I said to her, well, it's been lovely getting to know you, but I live here, you live there, so, you know, bye. A lot of registration happening. She said to me, Ben, I'm moving back to Chico. Well, this is news to me. I said, well, when are you moving back? She says, I'm going to move back at the end of the school year in June. I said, oh, okay, well, I guess maybe I'll see you in 6 months. And at this moment, she looks me in the eye, and she says, I will come and visit between now and then. Can I see you? If one angel was not enough to make it clear to the shepherds how important this night was, how important this person coming into the world was going to be to them and to everyone else. In addition to that one angel, God sends the whole heavenly host who bursts forth in song, singing glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. Sometimes we are so bad at registering what matters in our life that the one who matters most in our life has to send an army of singing angels to sing that we are the one whom God favors. Because even if we don't register God's love, our love is the only thing on God's registry, and God will not stop until God shares that love with us. I am so blessed that Annalisa's love has been stronger than my ineptitude. Yes? We have now been married for 5.5 years. She's not here tonight because she is watching over our 3-year-old by night. Yeah. But I will say this. She's made me watch a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies lately. You know, a lot of rom-coms. They're very formulaic. They're all about a young professional woman who lives in the big city, who goes home for Christmas in a shockingly short amount of time, falls in love with some young man who works at a local institution. Seems very unrealistic. I will say this about those movies. They understand that Christmas is the time when we are called to register what truly matters in our lives. And what truly matters is love. What truly matters is love that will overcome every obstacle in its path, particularly the ones that we place ourselves. But here's the thing, as wonderful as romantic love is, there is a love that is infinitely greater. It is the love of God. The love which brought the whole universe into being, and out of that whole universe, this love has chosen to love you for no other reason than it does. This love is willing to leave the grandeur of heaven to move to your hometown so it can dwell with you. This love is named Jesus. And he was willing to become as vulnerable as a baby lying in a manger in hopes that you would get the hint that he wants you to lift him up and hold him in your arms and bring him close. And if, friends, you don't get the hint, well, then Jesus has sent these angelic musicians and these beautiful lights and these ancient scriptures that you might register that he loves you. May the glory of this night register for you that Jesus wants to spend every day with you. Amen.